I'm Terry Thornton. I'm curator of education here at the Modern. And you are attending our Sundays at the Modern, which is something that happens every Sunday at 1 p.m., either pertaining to the architecture, special exhibition, or the permanent collection. So I invite you to get online and see what the lineup. I believe next week is Jeremy Strick from the Nasher, director at the Nasher. He's going to talk about Ruscha as well. But today we have Richard Patterson here with us to talk about Ed Ruscha exhibition, Ed Ruscha Road Tested. Richard is probably well known to everybody who's standing here, or almost, but I'm going to go through this for the sake of the podcast, if nothing else. Richard graduated in 1986 from Goldsmith College. It was at Goldsmith that he became associated with what is now known as the YBAs. He was included in the renowned Frieze exhibition that started it all, as well as then being in the Sensation Young British Artist from the Saatchi Collection that began at the Royal Academy of Arts in London, and then, as everybody knows, eventually traveled to the Brooklyn Museum. Richard came to Dallas by way of New York after growing up in London, or somewhere near London. He was a featured artist in the DMA's concentration series in 2000, which I think is where I became aware of Richard and his work, and where I believe he began to establish relationships here in the area. He also, one of those relationships being with Christina Rees, his wife, who some of you know. She's the curator of the Fort Worth Contemporary at TCU, as well as having had a road agent in Dallas prior to that. In 2007, Richard was in Nexus, Texas, which was an exhibition at the CAM in Houston. Some of you may have seen his work there. More recently, 2009, there was a one-person exhibition at Goss Michael Foundation in Dallas. And then 2010, he was in the group exhibition that was curated by Michael Craig Martin, who was kind of, I think, a mentor for Richard and a lot of his generation, the exhibition ART in Berlin. Also in 2010, close to home, some of you may have seen Richard's work in the exhibition Modern Ruin, which was over in Dallas at the soon-to-be destroyed Washington Mutual Bank on Greenville. It was curated by Christina Rees and Thomas Fulmer. I didn't know this when I asked Richard to do this talk. I did know that he had some association with Ed Ruscha. I just sensed it. The road tested aspect was also a connection that I thought might be interesting, since Richard has an interest in cars and motorcycles and such. But he also was in an exhibition titled Wall Rockets, Contemporary Artist and Ed Ruscha. So I'm glad to have confirmed the connection that I sensed. It's where contemporary artists responded to the work of Ed Ruscha, and I think he might speak to that a little bit today. Richard is represented by the James Cohen Gallery in New York and Timothy Taylor Gallery in London. He has an exhibition on the books with Timothy Taylor, so everybody keep an eye out for that. And then also with that exhibition, or at least I think next year, 2012, there'll be a book coming out on Richard's work, Richard and his work. The bio for Timothy Taylor I think is interesting. I just pulled out this phrase. Patterson is engaged in a philosophical level of interconnectedness of meaning, image, and making. And again, I think that's an interesting connection to the exhibition. Mostly what I want you to know, if you don't know already, is that Richard is a very serious and a very talented painter. My husband and I were talking the other day, do you ever go a day without thinking about art? And we tried to decide if that was true for either of us, but we were convinced it was true for Richard Patterson. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Richard, and we'll get started.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, everyone, for coming. So can we go? I'm going to play a song in a minute. So let's go into this room. In fact, let's go to a room where there's lots of word paintings. Okay. Well, when I started thinking about doing this talk and when I came to see the show, I realized that I had far more feelings about Ed Ruscha's work than I thought that I had. And he's sort of inhabits an interesting space, I think, because even though everybody knows now that he's this incredibly sort of prominent, important, celebrated artist, who's very much kind of liked by other artists, I think. He wasn't particularly well known, in fact, until about, I couldn't tell you exactly when, but he was much less well known in the sort of early 90s than he is right now, for instance. But anyway, I was thinking about the specific take on this show, the road and road tested and the car thing and all of that. And I feel that I have to point out that on Tuesday, 1st of March, the Geneva Car Show will open in Switzerland. And Jaguar, which is one of the all-time great marks, will be celebrating their 50th birthday for the E-Type Jag, which is known as the XKE in America. Maybe the most iconic, one of the most iconic cars ever made, and the only car to be in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. They'll also be featuring their fastest ever production car. Anyway, I know that Ed would have wanted me to have said that. And I was going to say it, even if he didn't. And anyway, that, I started thinking about, on the drive over here, I was thinking about the film Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell, which I think is actually quite brilliant. And I was thinking about displacement and me being an Englishman in America and what some of the things that movie was about, even though it's just a comedy. But so I was thinking, is Ed Ruscha, since he's, you know, since clearly this show is about his travels across America and the romantic search for some aspect of America, perhaps that is mythical. I was thinking, is Ed more like Will Ferrell's character, Ricky Bobby, or is he more like Jean Girard, the Belgian or the French racing driver who reads existentialist philosophy and stuff as he drives around the racetrack? And later I'll be talking a tiny bit about T.S. Eliot, or just quoting him a little bit. And so I wanted to sort of tie together these ideas of the general and the specific, and what might seem the sort of the lowbrow or the almost kind of blue-collar type interest of cars and, you know, all of that sort of stuff, and garage mechanics and stuff, with more erudite sort of things. So anyway, I have a bunch of notes here. I'm not going to really look at them, but I found it quite difficult to work out how to structure this talk in a logical kind of order, and then realized that it probably wasn't necessary to, but I'm going to break it down into four parts, more or less. And if it's possible to hold each of those parts in your mind as we go through it, because it's not a linear train of thought, you know, they all relate to each other. So anyway, the first, sort of by way of introduction, I want to talk about Ed Ruscha and the myth of the artist, in particular the myth of Ed Ruscha. Then I wanted to talk about painting space and what do other painters mean when they talk about painting space, because painters in particular talk about, in a very particular way, about other painters' space and what that thing is and what it means. And it's a kind of an esoteric conversation that one instinctively understands, but it occurred to me that maybe not everybody knows what artists mean when they refer to painting space. Then I wanted to talk about drawing in relation to Ruscha, in particular drawing as painting, because I don't really think he's a painter as such. I doubt that he would describe himself as one, but the work inevitably pivots around ideas in painting at times. And then fourthly, I would like to talk about poetry and how that relates to what I think that he's doing. So when I was at Goldsmiths in 1983, weirdly there was a teacher there from Texas, which is was kind of unusual. And it wasn't someone that taught me particularly, but he was called Ferris Newton, and which was such a great name that you sort of sense that you almost got the job just because you couldn't not have someone called Ferris Newton talking on the course. Newton as in Sir Isaac Newton. And anyway, I remember hearing him at lunch one day, because we all freely mixed the whole time. It was a very social college. And he had this weird sort of hybrid accent as well that was, I'll try and do it. But anyway, he and I remember him saying this line. And he said, when I say to draw, I don't mean draw as one draws with a pencil. I mean draw as in when one draws water from a well. And it was this very sort of profound sounding deep kind of thing that was sort of, as a 19-year-old, it was already a bit corny, you know, but you knew what he meant. But anyway, if you just kind of think about that as we go around the show. And then just to balance that out, and I'm going to come back to T.S. Eliot, but this is just two lines from from The Hollow Men. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Anyway, that's the introduction. So the first part, the myth of Ed Ruscha, or whatever. If you've ever seen pictures of Ed Ruscha, or you've ever seen him, been in the same room with him, or talked to anyone that has, it's almost inevitable that people talk about how cool he is, and almost unbearably cool he is, like a movie star. He's like, who's the guy that just died that was in Easy Rider and stuff? Dennis Hopper. I mean, I think he was a friend of Dennis Hopper. Ed always wears great shirts and sports jackets. Good, you know, Ed the handsome guy, Ed the cool guy, Ed the suave guy, Ed the guy that didn't go to New York who went to California because that was cooler kind of thing. Back in the day in London, when I first saw Ed Ruscha's work, it was a book. It was, is it The Nine Swimming Pools? I can't remember the numbers now, but it was the swimming pools book. And I think it was one of the first sort of artist books. And I came across it because a friend of mine who was at college, who was called Steve Park, who was a really great sculptor, was the son of a really great painter who I never met, who died probably younger than he should have done, unfortunately, called Alistair Park. And Alistair was a very good friend of Bruce MacLean, who's an important British sculptor and conceptual artist. Anyway, I came across this book because Steve had inherited it from his father, and no one really knew who Ed Ruscha was at that time in life. I mean, you did if you were really in the know, and the book was nine swimming pools, and you open it, and it's just photographs of nine different swimming pools in suburban houses in California. And to come across art in that context and to be able to just hold it and take it up someone's bookshelf and just to see it, you know, it's a limited edition book, I imagine, was really kind of great. I'd never seen art like that before. It was a really great way to experience it. Now that's become more of a kind of cliche, and you'll see some of the books, you'll see some of that type of work in the show, but they're in, you know, plex cases, they're in that kind of museum world of reverence, and you can't touch it and you can't hold it. But when I first saw it, I held an Ed Ruscha book and I opened it, and there it was. It was very personal and very intimate, and it was a different way of seeing art, and that was a real revelation to me. But interestingly, no one knew how to say his name in England, because I'm not sure that Ruscha is a very logical pronunciation of whatever his family name is. I really don't know. But so, in the same way that people struggled with Van Gogh back in the day, and then Woody Allen mocked that, and it was Van Gogh or something, you had to, you know, you couldn't go into a museum and sort of just say Van Gogh with like double F. That was, you know, that dumb kind of thing. So you had to have a stab at the right accent. And Ed Ruscha was, you know, alternatively sort of Ed Ruska or Ruscha or Russia or Ruscha or Ruskar or any variant, you know. And so it was kind of a relief when you finally got it standardized and you knew who Ed Ruscha was. But it occurs to me that the kind of the myth of the ultra cool guy. Maybe I should play the song now. I'll cue you in a minute, John. So by about 1990, 1987 or something, Ed did a huge show at Anthony Doffey, which was the gallery that I used to be at London, which kind of really catapulted his career forward, certainly in Europe. And simultaneously, these two guys who ran a gallery called the Rocket Gallery in London made a pop song called I Want to Hang Out with Ed Ruscha. And I'm going to play it in a minute, but it's kind of, it kind of fairly non-ironically, I think, shows the kind of level of how much admired he was and how kind of cool people thought he was. Do you want to play the song? And you can just sort of look at the paintings and think about it.
Into play, he puts the cool That's Ed Ruscha. That's Ed Ruscha. That's Ed Ruscha.
Thanks, John. So that was kind of interesting because when I'm in my studio, I always listen to music when I'm working, but I kind of zone out from the music. But I had no idea what effect the song would have. It wasn't an experiment, but it's really interesting that everyone just started talking to each other and became like a sort of an opening, which is kind of quite interesting. But it also made me think, clearly with a lot of Ruscha's work, you know, there's often two components. There's often a straightforward duality, and some sort of a sense of an image or a sense of some abstraction and text or something like that. And you always get a sense that that neither is what you should be looking at, that somehow the meaning of it or the location of the idea or something is somewhere elsewhere. Ruscha talked a lot about some of his big, he's a big fan of Marcel Duchamp and Jasper Johns and Rauschenberg and people like that. And there's a Jasper Johns painting that just has the word no painted on at the bottom. And as you look at that painting, you always come back to the bottom of the painting where it just says no, this straightforward negation. So whatever it was you were thinking, it's almost like Johns is telling you, no, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that. And one of the interesting things about text, I guess, I hate to use the word text in this context, it sounds so dry, but, you know, written statements on paintings, is that there's a tendency for you to think that you understand what it is because the words are there. But I think he's sending you elsewhere the whole time. So I don't think I'm going to talk more about the sort of the myth of the artist bit, except to say that once one becomes aware of someone being that cool, having almost kind of rock star status, does it begin to negate any sense of critical, does that begin to run ahead of and possibly negate any sense of how good he might be or what he's actually trying to do? And I think that, you know, there's a line in the song which is one, is something that he said, and it's, I don't want no retrospective. And there's that feeling that you get to a certain point when you're judged, and you know when you do the retrospective, that's the sort of final moment of critical judgment. And he clearly wanted to kind of hold that off. And it seemed to me that he went to LA and not New York. And you know he's from Oklahoma, but he moved to LA because he didn't want to do the obvious thing, maybe, and he was maybe looking for something else. But his own persona and his own sort of reputation maybe sort of outgrew that kind of coolness. You know, that in the end, being that cool, I guess, is what I'm saying, is actually not so cool. That's maybe not the position that he really wanted to have. Or maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe that's why he went to Hollywood. I don't know. But anyway, let's go to the first. Now, let's go to the gas stations room.